What's up, everybody? Welcome to the TNT Wellness and Nutrition Podcast. I'm Thomas.
I'm Tyson.
I studied exercise physiology and competed in many various sports ranging from wrestling to ultra running. I use that knowledge to combine today's science with ancient wisdom to live an optimal lifestyle and to spread that information onto the masses.
I'm a lifelong weightlifter and I'm obsessed with health and wellness. My degree in biology, with an emphasis in neurobiology, physiology, and behavior, allows me to take a deep dive into the most current literature and bring that information to you.
Thank you for listening to the podcast. If you'd like to show your support, please rate and review on your favorite podcast provider, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, or SoundCloud. Also, sign up on our website, tntwellnessandnutrition.com, for all of our up-to-date content.
Let's get this started. What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of TNT Wellness and Nutrition Podcast. This is episode 139, and today we're going to be discussing the world's most nutrient-dense food. And this is going to be the finale of our series on the caveman diet. So the past three or four episodes, we've been critiquing basically an animal-based diet and the benefits of it and the science behind it, the history behind it, all that stuff. And I thought today would be a good way to end it, basically going over the nutrient profile of meat, because surprise, surprise, the world's most nutrient-dense food is meat. And this is just, honestly, the icing on the cake, don't you think? Like, this is really our strongest argument for an animal-based diet.
Yeah, the reason that we eat this way is because, like, mostly nutrient density, and there's, like, no anti-nutrients either to combat, like, all those nutrients. So, like, you're getting more nutrients from the food, and you don't have to worry about anti-nutrients inhibiting some of the absorption. So it's better from both ways.
Better, yeah, exactly. And I wanted to really touch on specifically vitamins and minerals, because that's a term, or those are just words people hear all the time, people talk about all the time, but a lot of people don't know what vitamins and minerals actually do within our body and how important they are. So I wanted to touch on that. And I think I kind of made an argument that is Tom approved. I haven't talked to him yet about it, but I try to do it in a way that is, I don't know, you always break stuff down in a very, it's like simplistic, but not like dumb type of way. You know what I'm trying to say? And I try to do it today with this argument.
What, just like logical and just thinking about evolution?
Yeah, just logical. I guess I should have said logical. Yeah, exactly. So like, in my opinion, this really is the strongest argument yet for the benefits of an animal-based diet. And I just want to, like I said, explain first vitamins and minerals and why our body needs them. Because understanding this gives us great insight into the type of food we should be eating. And I just want to compare plants and animals real quick, basically like structurally, what they're made of and how they live. So does a plant have a stomach full of acid? No, it doesn't. Does a plant have skeletal muscle needed for movement or self-defense? No. Their chemical and physical composition is suited for their way of life. They have a cell wall used for support. We don't. We have a fluid cellular membrane. They have chloroplasts needed to convert sunlight into usable chemical energy. We don't. Like, I don't care. You can go sit in the sun for as long as you want, and your body won't convert that light and energy. Like, I don't care how much of a vegan you think you are. Like, it's just not going to work. And the plant kingdom's way of life is just completely different than ours. But animals, that's a different story. They have stomachs, they have muscles, they have brains. Therefore, they need the same nutrients that we do to survive. Therefore, eating animals gives us those same nutrients. So let's touch.
I love that argument. I've never thought of it that way, mm-hmm. but that makes total sense. So plants don't have muscles. That's why they don't need the same like amino acid profile we that do. Our muscles need. Mm-hmm. Like that's why they don't have them, because like it's not a need for them. Whereas animal foods, they do have muscles, so they need that complete range of essential amino acids, just like we do. So that makes total sense. I never thought of it that way, but that's why plants are not like a complete protein source, any of them. You have to combine different plants from different like areas to kind of mix match them.
See, good. I'm glad you like that. See, I was trying to do it how you would do it. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, like I never thought of it that way, but that makes total sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, good. So that's basically, that's top level. I do think people just get their mind wrapped around it. That's basically what we're talking about. And so what do vitamins and minerals actually do? So they're cofactors in chemical reactions. And in order for our body to do anything, a chemical reaction has to occur. So light going into our eye is converted into chemical signal that eventually gets interpreted by our brain as color. The food we eat gets broken down and absorbed via various chemical reactions. Everything we do, every time we think, a chemical reaction is occurring within our body. It's just basically how everything happens. And our body uses enzymes in order to carry out these processes. And these enzymes don't work unless they have the proper cofactors. And that's where vitamins and minerals come into play. These nutrients literally bind to these enzymes physically and let them do their job. And everyone knows I'm a big believer in the mineral magnesium. And that's because it's a cofactor in over 700 reactions. And people ask me all the time why I recommend magnesium, and this is why. There's not just one thing magnesium is good at. It aids our body in producing stomach acid, therefore it aids in digestion. It's needed for our body to metabolize glucose, therefore it's great at keeping our blood sugar under control. It's needed to produce neurotransmitters that calm us down, therefore it's a great sleep aid. And this is true for a lot of vitamins and minerals. They rarely do just one thing. They do a ton of things. And they are very important, and that's why I always recommend eating nutrient-dense foods. And that means foods rich in all macronutrients, which are fats and proteins, or at least the essential macronutrients, but also rich in all the vitamins and minerals our body needs. Eating plants exclusively just doesn't give us the best odds of acquiring all the nutrients our body needs. And by comparisons, just vitamin density between animals and plants, in 8 of the 10 vitamins, animal foods are denser, and in most cases, several times more denser than plants. So basically, for 80% of the vitamins and minerals, animal source foods are better and provide more. That's pretty, 80% is pretty good, right?
Yeah, especially when you consider the two that are probably like the least essential.
Mm-hmm.
Or at least one of them is extremely, like, unknown. We don't know a whole lot about vitamin E.
No, we don't. Yeah. But, and that's not even thinking about, like, bioavailability and active nutrients, which honestly any, like, proper formulated diet would consider bioavailability. If we talk about that, and, like, we talked about anti-nutrients in the past, those are things in plants that hinder absorption of vitamins and minerals. And if we consider those things, animal source foods are even more nutrient dense than plants. Just to think about it critically, like purely from a biological standpoint, this is going to make perfect sense. Our cells are comprised of the same subcomponents as other animals. So cows have cells that have the same vitamin and mineral needs as us. So of course, eating these foods provides us with the same vitamins and minerals. Plants have a very different structure. When viewed at the cellular level, their needs from a vitamin and mineral standpoint are very different than ours. So the fact that animals are a better source of nutrition is unsurprising, given that humans are also mammals. We're animals, containing the same chemicals as other mammals and requiring mostly the same vitamins. And like Tom mentioned earlier, plant foods are only denser in two vitamins. So that's vitamin E and vitamin C. That's it. And in my opinion, this shows two things. One, how little we need these specific vitamins. And two, it kind of highlights the type of fuel we use compared to plants. So we generally rely on fat for fuel, and plants generally rely on sugar for fuel. And that kind of shifts the metabolic needs of our cells. And it's not that vitamin E and vitamin C don't serve a purpose, like they 100% do. We as mammals just don't need as much of them. And that's why they're lower in animal source foods. And a common criticism of an animal-based diet is scurvy, or just vitamin C deficiency. We talked about it last week on Article of the Week, so kind of the arguments against a carnivore diet. That comes up a lot as far as like a micronutrient deficiency. They'll say vitamin C. But we have a ton of evidence that shows that animal-based diet doesn't lead to scurvy. So scurvy did not affect polar societies, despite them basically never eating vegetables. Think of like the Inuit and the Eskimos. They never eat vegetables. None of them ever have scurvy. And sometimes people will say, well, oh, the Eskimos have kind of unique genetics. But that's something that has also been studied. There's been Western individuals who actually have lived with polar societies, and they do not show signs of vitamin deficiencies at all. We've talked about this gentleman in the past. So Wilhelmer Stefansson, his book is called, well, he's written a ton of books, but the main one is called The Fat of the Land. And this is basically a guy who went and lived with Eskimos for years. And he came back and told basically people in New York, like, hey, man, these people live off nothing but meat. They basically eat seals and fish 24/7. They don't have cancer. They don't have diabetes. They're not fat. They're young. They're strong. They're healthy. This is crazy. And basically nobody believed him. And so they had to do a study. I call it the New York study, but you call, what is it called? The Bellevue?
The Bellevue. Well, the Bellevue is the name of the hospital.
Yeah. It's in New York. So basically him and one of his buddies who lived with Eskimos for a whole year lived in a hospital. And it was basically one of the best controlled studies ever on diet. And they ate nothing but meat. And both of these people came out of this study healthier than when they started. The only problem they had is for a short period of time, when they initially did the study, the doctors only fed them lean meat, and they came into a problem with basically digestive issues. They need fat to digest all this protein, or to mobilize all this protein, I should say. But these people did not develop any sort of vitamin deficiencies whatsoever, even though they had no plant food in their diets at all.
Yeah, every single doctor that was studying them thought that this study was going to last like 2 weeks and these guys were going to get sick and then they would need to, you know, step in and cut the study short. But that is definitely not what happened. They, once Stefansson got to kind of create his own like animal-based diet, he was eating like brains, tongue, I think liver a few times a week, and then just mostly like a lot of fatty cuts of meat.
And they were healthier for it. And,
oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, so both these people showed, and like I said, that article of the week last week said there's no scientific evidence of the carnivore diet. That's 100% not true, because this study exists, and this study's over 100 years old at this point. This is not, like, new information. This is all very old stuff. It's just been forgotten by the most recent nutritionists and dietitians out there. And there are a few reasons why the need for vitamin C is less on a meat-heavy diet, and... So dietary vitamin C requirements, they can be lowered in multiple ways in the context of a low-carbohydrate diet. So according to the glucose vitamin C antagonism hypothesis, the structural similarity between glucose and vitamin C means the two molecules compete to enter cells via the same transport system. So therefore, higher requirements for vitamin C in Western populations may result from higher consumption of carbohydrates and consequently higher blood glucose levels. Basically, the more carbs you eat, the more vitamin C you need. You can think of sugar as a poison and vitamin C as an antidote. And this has been shown in a few clinical studies. So two clinical studies comparing diabetics and non-diabetic patients showed, as predicted by that hypothesis, that diabetic patients with higher blood glucose levels have decreased plasma vitamin C levels. So they do very structurally the same vitamin C and glucose. They use the same receptors to get inside the cell. Another way vitamin C is needed less on a carnivorous diet is the increased mitochondrial glutathione levels. So glutathione is our body's master antioxidant. It does a ton of different things. And more glutathione means more enzyme glutathione reductase to recycle oxidized vitamin C into ascorbic acid, which is reduced vitamin C. And that's a good thing. That just means we need less vitamin C in that method as well. And the ketogenic diet, which the carnivore diet would be, can also increase uric acid, which is a major antioxidant in the human blood. That spares vitamin C in its antioxidant capacity and allows it to be conserved for other tasks. Another way that we need less vitamin C on a carnivore diet. Also, animal foods provide a generous amount of carnitine, meaning that we need less vitamin C to synthesize it, because you need vitamin C to synthesize carnitine. And these are the many reasons why scurvy isn't a problem on an animal-based diet, and why you simply don't need as much vitamin C when you eat a low-carb, carnivore-style diet. And I'm glad
this is kind of supported by like Mother Nature, because the sources that you find a lot of glucose mostly is going to be fruit. Fruit is also high in vitamin C. Like, nature is like paired those very well. That's why you find that. But when the times that scurvy develops is when people are eating like processed foods. So primarily you think of sailors when they were on a boat. Well, what are they eating? They're eating bread, they're eating biscuits, a high carbohydrate food that has next to no vitamin C. So that's why they develop scurvy, because they are on a high carb diet and a low vitamin C diet. If they were eating a bunch of fruit instead of bread, they would have been perfectly fine. But they weren't. They were eating a very, very high carbohydrate diet, and that's why the need for vitamin C in those sailors was so high.
Yep, that's very true. And honestly, if those sailors would have just fished and lived off nothing but fresh fish, they would have been fine as well. But they obviously they didn't know that at the time, obviously. But yeah, so I wanted to touch on a few, just a list of nutrients that you will not find in plants. And this is actually a long-ass list, and it just shows the nutrient deficiencies of a plant-based diet. So this is a list of nutrients that you will not find in plants. So vitamin A, vitamin K2, vitamin B9, vitamin B12, vitamin B6, vitamin D, heme iron, and long-chain omega-3s, EPA and DHA. So all of these foods you will only find in animal-sourced foods. And animal foods are not only qualitatively, but also quantitatively superior to plant foods. Simply put, there are more vitamins and minerals in animal foods, and they are better quality. This is a fact. This cannot be argued. And something I like to touch on every time we talk about the nutrient deficiencies of a plant-based diet is I call it the five C's. So these are nutrients that you will not find in plant foods as well. So it's cholesterol, creatine, choline, carnitine, and carnosine. And we've done a podcast on the benefits of basically all these nutrients at some point in the past. And they are critical for anyone who wants to live an optimal lifestyle. Anyone who wants to be strong and healthy for the rest of their lives needs a diet containing all of those nutrients. And you will not find any of those in plants. So it just shows that the true nutrient-dense food, the most nutrient-dense food on the planet is meat. I don't care if you're talking about ribeye. I don't care if you're talking about salmon. I'm just saying meat in general. It has the most nutrients from a macronutrient standpoint, from a micronutrient standpoint, and that is a you can't really argue that.
No, you can't. And, yeah, you can get – so like you mentioned all the vitamins that are only in animal foods. So plants contain precursors to those vitamins. Like there's a precursor of vitamin A, like beta carotene, that's in plants. There's vitamin K1, which is in leafy greens. You can get some B vitamins and things like nuts and seeds. Those are kind of a decent source. You can't get D3, which is our usable form, but you can get D2 from like certain types of mushrooms. You can get omega-3 like AHA from like different nuts and seeds, ALA.
Mm-hmm.
From like nuts and seeds, but again, it's not in the usable form. So like you can get precursors to all this, but if you're getting a precursor, that means under the most optimal conditions, you're converting like 10%. And that's if all the other conditions are optimal. You have all the other precursors required, which means you need like all these other vitamins and all these other cofactors, so these minerals, cofactors, to be in like adequate supply so you can make all these conversions. So it's just easier if you get your vitamin A in the usable form. You get the vitamin K in its usable form. You don't have to worry about all these conversions.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that is, like, I know if you listen to this podcast, you think, well, how in the world can anybody be a vegetarian? How in the world can anyone be a vegan if it is this nutrient poor? And that's because, you know, our body can convert some of these things. It's just not optimal. And like I've said, I mentioned in the podcast a million different times, I'm all about being optimal and being as strong as and healthy as possible. And in that sense, you want to get all these nutrients in their most bioavailable form, and you find them in meat. And that's just a fact. And, I don't know, man. I feel like this stuff gets argued until people are blue in the face, but to me, it's black and white. It's just very obvious that any diet that is properly formulated, any diet that is worth its weight, is going to contain a good portion of meat.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely superior in macronutrient-wise, micronutrient-wise, vitamins, minerals. And then when you even look at it, like how much of this food do you need to eat to hit all your like nutritional needs, and you don't need that much of it. I know we talked about this a couple weeks ago, like how much sweet potato do you need to hit your vitamin A threshold? I think it's like a pound of sweet potato.
It was like
potato.
A pound, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it's like, okay, so if you eat that pound of sweet potato, what's your vitamin K like? Mm-hmm. What's your vitamin D like? Oh, so how much mushrooms do you need to eat to now get your vitamin D level right? Oh, I don't know how much that is, but it's going to be a significant amount. How many nuts and seeds do you need to eat to get your omega-3 right? Well, if you're eating nuts and seeds to get your omega-3 level right, it's never going to be right because you're going to be consuming a shit ton of omega-6s along with it. So it's just like there's a lot of things in the plant world that is just too hard to formulate it correctly.
Yep, exactly. So this is how I wanted to end the series on the caveman diet, basically just outlining the facts. This really is. I'm going to link the paper on the website, so tntwellnessandnutrition.com. It's a very long paper that I use as a resource for the last 4 or 5 episodes. So if you want to learn more, I would definitely go there and check that out. It's very intensive. What's it? Mickey Bendor, that's his name, right?
Yeah, Mickey Bendor.
Yeah, Mickey Bendor. That guy's he's a stud as far as the history of humans and their diet. He knows a lot, so he's definitely a resource of mine. I really like relying on him for this information, and I actually thank him for this because Lord knows the amount of effort it took for him to put together. I mean, it was him and a whole team put this paper together, but it's a huge resource. It's very valuable information, and I think a lot of people need to know that any diet that's worth its weight, like I said, is going to contain nutrient-dense food, and the most nutrient-dense food on the planet is meat. And yeah, so that's the podcast. Hope you guys liked it. You can find us at tntwellnessandnutrition.com. We're on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, so feel free to reach out anytime.
Yeah, please rate, review, and subscribe on your favorite podcast provider. That's Apple Podcasts, Google Play, SoundCloud, Stitcher, and YouTube. Hope everybody has a happy and healthy week.